you realize you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You can walk right into His presence. That's the experience that we can have when we have a son-father relationship. We walk in, put our arm around Dad, and kiss him on the cheek and say, "Dad, I sure do love you." That is a son relationship. You know, a servant relationship, I walk up to him and say, "Sir, what can I do to make your day better?" You know, that's a servant relationship. And that's where so many people in the church live today. They have the servant relationship and not the son relationship. And it makes all the difference in the world. I want to explain to you what I really think grace is and the way the Scripture teaches grace. First of all, before you got saved, how did God see you? As a wicked sinner. Is that right? All of us in here are the same way. I think about how God must have looked at me. I was one of the fortunate ones being raised in a good Christian home with a good mother and daddy. And a lot of people didn't have that. You know, and I stand in awe at the people that don't have that. Still, me being lost, I was a wicked person in God's sight. And He saw me as wicked. I didn't do anything to deserve this being taken out of the world and put into this magnificent place with God. I just stand in awe of the grace that He poured out to me. But all of us, we have to look at that kind of grace, because maybe you weren't this wicked person, and I'm glad I wasn't that person. I'm certainly glad I didn't live like that for the first 30 years of my life. But I know people that have lived like that, you know, and that have been murderers and druggies, and they've killed people on the street. It's awful what men have done, and women. But when you come to know Jesus, and He says, "Just come over here. I will forgive you. I will cleanse you. I will make you a new creature." Now that's grace. That's definitely giving us something we did not deserve, right? So that's grace. And where so many people misunderstand grace, they think once we get saved, we can keep living like we used to, so that grace may abound, you know. But I mean, we hear people that talk about that. We even hear preachers that talk about that. It's okay. Once you get saved, I mean, you know, God understands if you want to live in sin. Why do we teach those kind of things? Why do we say that the grace of God will, it'll take care of all of our sins? We can just go ahead and live like we want to, and God's going to be okay with that because we're now saved. I don't understand that. Grace is ongoing, but when we get saved, we get taken from this place of the world. And it's literal hell over there. And that's where people are raping, killing, murdering, stealing, cheating, doing everything in the world. And when we get saved, He reaches over and snatches us out of that, pulls us over here and puts us in His kingdom. Now we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now when He puts you over here, He expects you to dress accordingly. You know, He didn't expect you to be the murdering, thieving critter that you was over here. He expects you to become one of His sons. And He has cleaned up your act. He expects you now to walk holy before Him because you're a son. I mean, you want to walk along beside your father. You want to glorify Him in what you do. When a person really experiences sonship, there is no way, nothing in the world can ever drag you back to this side. You can never be dragged back over there. I mean, when people come over here and say they get saved and come to church, and then they come to church for 6 months and they quit going to church and they're back over here drugging, drinking, you know, running around, messing with the people and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you, those people that are back, they never experienced what I experienced in sonship. I'll give you a simple example of the world. Let's say here I was, I'm a 12-year-old boy, and I had no mother, no father. You know, they run off and they just left me on the street when I was 5 or 6 years old. I'm out having to eat out of trash cans. You know, I'm trying to find something to wear, to put on. You know, I'm finding wore out shoe in the trash, but I put it on because it's better than what I got. I'm living like that. And you know, there's people living like that. There's people today that are living like that in America. And then all of a sudden, here comes somebody driving along in a big extended car, beautiful thing. And he pulls up beside me and he sees me eating out of the trash can. And he says, "Son, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, sir, I'm not stealing anything. I'm just trying to eat. I'm hungry." He said, "Where's your mother and dad?" I said, "I don't have one." He said, "Son, come over here. Come over here." He said, "Let me open the door and you get in." And I look at this beautiful car that's magnificent and I'm all dirty and crusty. I said, "Sir, I couldn't get in." He said, "Get in. Sit down right there." I said, "But sir, I'll get the seats dirty." He said, "So I can have them clean." sit down here. He said, driver, take me down to the law office. This boy said he has no mother and father. I want to adopt him to become my son. I said, sir, you couldn't possibly want me. He said, oh, yes, I want you. Will you be my son? I look at his beautiful car. He said, before you make that decision, let me drive you by and show you where your home's going to be. He drives by and shows me this magnificent home. I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. I've lived on the streets. He said, that whole second floor up there is going to be yours if you become my son. I said, you got to be kidding me. Oh, no, he said, let me take you in the house and show you the wardrobes. Let me take you in here, 12 years old. Let me show you these 10-speed bikes I got out back. And then let me show you those Rolls Royces I got there when you get to be 16. And he shows me all this stuff, and he takes me in the kitchen and said, this is my kitchen, and these are my chefs, and they prepare anything you like to eat anytime you want it. Now, do you want to be my son? Only a fool would say no, right? We think only a fool would turn this guy down. You keep asking me, are you serious? You know, you have everything and I have nothing, and you want me to be your son? I can't bring anything into this relationship. He said, only yourself. Is that what God does for us? We're that poor kid on the street. We're living in poverty, even the best we've got. We're living wicked. And he comes along and says, I want you to be my son. I don't want you to be my servant. He could have come by and said, hey, kid, are you working? No, I don't have a job. Well, how'd you like to have a job? Well, I don't know any place to work. He said, come to work for me at my house. I'll let you be one of my servants. I'll pay you $500 a week. This kid ain't never seen $500. He thinks you're kidding. No. I mean, would most people even accept that? Sure. But there's a big difference in being the servant and being a son. Because when he signs those adoption papers, even in the world today, you adopt a child. Did you know you can disown your own flesh and blood children? But you can't disown an adopted child. Once you sign the adoption papers, it's sealed forever. That child is yours. It don't make any difference if they turn out good or bad. You're stuck with them forever. Whereas your own flesh and blood, you can say, I don't want you. Get out. But an adopted child, you can't. But you know, some people never experience anything in their Christian walk except servanthood. Some people experience sonship. And that's what we're supposed to be when you're a true son. You don't ever keep record of time. I even looked at myself as a son of the company that I work for. I would go into work in the morning. If we had a project going on, I didn't care what time I had to get up to get there. If I had a project I needed to start on in Chicago at 7 o'clock in the morning, I would be up here and down on an airplane, and I would be in the operation up there before 7 o'clock in the morning. You get up early to do that. And then if I had to stay till 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock that night to get it done, I stayed to accomplish whatever because I looked at myself as a son of this company. I was not a servant of this company. I was a part of this company. That's the way I looked at it. When you see yourself as a son, you can be in church 24/7. It don't bother you. You never get too much Jesus. Never. The more of Jesus you can get, the better you like it. That's how I can sit in my office and immerse myself in the Word of God, and Cheryl can come by and talk to me a minute, and 4 hours later she comes by, and I ain't never moved. I'm still sitting there in the Word. Most people say, I don't see how in the world you do that. Well, I'm studying about my dad and his son, and I want to know more about him. Time means nothing to me. I don't keep records of how many hours I study his Word. I don't keep account of any of those things. I just want to spend my time with my Master. And you never get tired of it. That's when you're a son. But if you ever experience the true sonship, and that's what we're supposed to be experiencing with God, you cannot ever be a backslider. It won't happen. You cannot practice sinning. You can't do it. I met a man the other day I was buying some doors from, and I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, are you a good one or a bad one? Caught him by surprise. He said, well, I try to be good. I said, well, have you told anybody about Jesus lately? No. I said, have you cast out any demons lately? He looked at me and said, no. I said, have you healed any sick people lately? He says, no. I said, then you're a bad Christian. I mean, did Jesus tell us to do these things? Yes. Did Jesus tell us to go out and to tell people about Jesus? Yes. To bring them into the kingdom of God and make disciples? Did he tell us that? So if you're not doing that, you haven't experienced true sonship. because your daddy told you what to do and you're not obeying your daddy. So you're looking at this thing as a servant relationship. How many people go to work for somebody? Let's say you got an 8-to-5 job. You don't want to get there 1 minute before 8 o'clock. Maybe if you can squeeze by 5 or 10 or 15 minutes late and still get there and be happy, the boss be happy, you're okay. And whenever 5 o'clock comes, you want to be gone, not at 5, but 15 or 20 minutes before 5. That person has never experienced sonship. He does not know the king like I know the king. When I was working, even for a corporation, I never looked at a clock. I just made sure I was in early. I made sure the job I had to do was done. And I don't care what time it was, if it was 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night when I got through, I just put in a day. That's the way I looked at it. But when I'm working for Jesus, and I go out, I work for him. We go to all kinds of places. We go do everything. I had people come up yesterday and say, man, I know you must be exhausted. You've been standing up all day. I said, no, I'm not the least bit tired. I wasn't. The Lord is my strength. You know, I can teach his word all day long and not get tired. Don't we love being sons?
Yes.
Because if we're sons, then we walk in true faith. And when we walk in faith, we're not under the law. We're walking as sons. Now, if you're a servant, you're under the law. And this is where God says, thou shalt not. Just like when Cheryl prayed for her puppy. You know, when the Lord came to me and spoke to me as a father. Son, yes, Lord. He said, are you going to withhold from your wife what I've made special for her? Now see, if I'd have been a servant, he'd have said, I've made a dog for your wife and you're going to give it to her. You hear that? That's servanthood. That ain't sonship. Daddies don't talk to their children like that, do they? If we are experiencing sonship, you tell your son, son, I made something for one of your children. Can they have it? Because who's the authority over those children? Your son. And you can't force anything on them. You don't do it unless they're servants. If they're servants, you tell the servant what to do. You work for me, I want you here at 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, I can't make it till 7:30. Then get out, I'll find somebody else. Is that the way business world works? That's the way the world is? Sure. They ain't sons, are they? When you call them and say, you know, I've got something special going on this morning. I know you're supposed to come in at 9, but today I got to have you at 6. Oh, can't you find anybody else? I'm sick. I don't feel good. I don't want to come in at 6.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Son versus Servant Relationship, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.